When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
Hello and welcome to episode 41 of the Battlecast. I'm your host, Seth Vilo, here today with the one, the only, Mr. Claude Nine himself.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Did I do it? Is that the right voice you wanted? Okay, great, cool.
You did it. Perfect.
Did it.
Now we can go back to normal voices.
All right, phenomenal.
And we are here to talk everything video game battling, and we've got a really cool, interesting topic for you this go-round. Yet again, we've got another Puckle tournament going on that we're going to talk about here shortly and how it messes with people's brains. There's been some other just general stuff happening. So what have you been up to, Claude?
Oh, you know, your standard Pokemon type of things with, I did some draft for a while and now I'm running a whole bunch of tournaments and, you know, playing some more draft and, you know, poke with the episodes every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
The occasional Nuzlocke if I get bored and want to do something else with my life. But, you know.
Yeah, it works.
It's all in good fun. Yeah, that and coming up with some of these crazy rules and teams for the tournaments that you'll be seeing in the future. I've had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of them, and they look really cool, really interesting, especially, like, this Triple T tournament. Is it just TTT, or do we go... Is there an abbreviation?
It is the Triple Tri-Attack Triathlon.
Oh, yeah, okay, abbreviation.
Of course. Yes. Perfect. Also known as the TTT.
TTT. Triple T. I'm just going to say that. That's much easier to say.
It's T-cubed, actually, but, I mean,
T-cubed.
We don't have to go there.
T-cubed. But, yeah, we've got that one. That's a really cool rule set, but we'll get there when we get to the topic. We'll save that for then.
Yeah.
Well,
what have you been up to, Seth? I feel like you never get asked that question.
You know, I kind of don't. I don't ever get asked that unless I'm on the main show, and then it's not in this context. For the most part... Video game-wise, I've been just kind of doing what I normally do and trying to come up with a cool OU team that fits all my stupid cores. I've come up with one that's actually been kind of fun to use. Tapu Fini is ridiculous right now, so
That's
it's always been one of my faves, and I'm happy to use it and do use it successfully again. But I've gotten the itch to use Zarude again recently, so
Zarude is so much fun. But I don't use him in OU. I use him more in, like, UU.
Mm-hmm. In my brain, he's like the perfect sweeper because he's like, oh, I'm going to set up 15 bulk ups and, oh no, I got toxic. No, I didn't. Jungle healing. Haha. Mm-hmm. So.
If only he wasn't weak to U-turn.
Exactly. Like grass, anything else. He's a cool grass type at least, but I don't know.
Yo, dare I say check. Best grass type Gen 8?
Best Gen 8 grass type, maybe.
Yes, that's what I meant. Sorry, yeah. Best Gen 8 grass... No, I'm sorry. I can't. There's Eldegoat.
That's true. We're going to talk about that one here in a little bit, too. So, that'll be fun.
Yeah, Eldegoat, true. Best grass type Gen 8. Shout out to McGee. He won't hear this, but it's fine.
That's okay. We'll just tell him we talked about Eldegoss later after this.
No, Eldegoat. Fine. That's
Eldegoat.
True name.
Pardon me. Pronouncing it wrong. But anyway, let's not wait for that to happen, let's hop on over to tier time so we can eventually get to Eldegoat. We'll see you guys on the other side.
It's tier time.
And we're back. It's tier time, as always. So we're going to go ahead and start from the top, like most of the time we do. Sometimes we start random places, but not this time. Haha. So, Claude, what happened in Ubers?
So I think the big thing that happened in Ubers this month, this three-month segment or whatever, was that Zacian H, or what's it, sword form?
The Crown? Hero of Many Battles form.
Hero
crown
of Many
is
Battles.
Already kicked.
Zacian H, or oh, so it's without the crown.
Yeah.
Ah, regular Zacian then, is now banned from Ubers. So, with a sword, without the sword, the doggo is too strong. And now joins, Mega Rayquaza in the Anything Goes Pokemon tier.
And its crown form as well.
Oh, yes, and its crown form. So, and I think, like, Eternatus, like, G-Max.
Eternamax Eternatus, yeah.
Yeah, Eternamax Eternatus, you know, Mega Z-Move user. Him. So what does that mean for the overall meta of Ubers? And let me tell you, what it does is it allows other wall breakers to be in the meta. It means you don't have to actually run Zacian every single game because it was broken. So things like Lando Eye, Calyrex Ice Rider form, regular Rayquaza, even Zekrom can now be a wall breaker and do more damage and do things, you know? Because you don't need to have a dedicated Zacian or a Zacian counter on your team. This also helps a lot of the bulky cores that were going around beforehand. Stuff like Duskmane Necrozma, Yveltal, and regular Eternatus do a lot more now because their big sweeper that would kill them is gone. However, with this, though, you had a lot of, you know, regenerator cores and bulky mons that did super well that now will not do that well. Like Tangrowth, Amoongus, Toxapex, when you're not walling a steel fairy type.
Well, this one was just fairy.
Well, this one's just fairy, sorry. Like, a very strong fairy type, it, you know, the poison becomes a lot less useful when they're more flying types and psychic types get to roam around free now. That end, Xerneas, you know, despite having another fairy leaving, thinking maybe it would do better, actually, it doesn't. Because of the rise of Duskmane and Necrozma, it's a lot more difficult to run Xerneas and run it as well because it kind of gets hard-walled. That and all the other things that counter Zacian counter it still. So
exactly. And part of that is the reason that the physical defense, the physical offensive breakers are doing well too. Since you lose the primary physical sweeper, it allows other physical sweepers to exist, but also allows defensive checks to start running special defense instead.
Yes.
So Duskmane would always run like 252 bold in order to even stand a chance against Zacian. But now it can run special defense to stand a chance against Xerneas. So now that there's that flexibility, Xerneas actually, oddly, does worse.
Even beforehand, Magnezone was seeing a lot of play, and it still sees a lot of play in this tier, specifically like the Iron Defense body press sets. Mm-hmm. And even now, it still shines just because it's a good steel type. And then everyone's favorite, Shadow Pony on a horse riding a Calyrex. You know, I think that's the other way around, but it's fine.
Yeah.
is now, like, nuts. I think that's the next thing that would be considered the next thing to look at would be the Shadow Form Calyrex, just because what are you going to do?
Yep. The only thing that might keep it in check is the fact that now that a big, ugly, nasty fairy is gone, it opened the door for more dark types to kind of walk in. Things like Tyranitar and Yveltal. Yep, that has a little more flex. So more darks could come in to keep
Calyrex. I also see
Calyrex
more Shadow will probably show up as well, just because Shadow Sneak.
Yep.
Kind of eats
entirely possible.
So, but that's pretty much Ubers. I mean, you look at most posts about Ubers, it's like, waiting for someone to use something creative in Ubers. And then you see them dead as a skeleton, and they're still waiting because, you know, it's rare that you see something new show up that actually does something because all these mons are broken for a reason, and they do so well already. So, we might see some stuff come out. We may not. I mean, I like Pyukumuku still in Ubers. Ditto's great Ubers mon, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's still evolving, and it's still kind of figuring out what's going to fill that void and what things are good and bad. So it's not quite creative yet, but it's getting there as people explore more and more things with the opening that's made. So we'll see. Maybe next month it'll be crazy, and Weavile will be the king of Ubers. Who knows?
No. Frail boy is frail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it does okay. It's just not nearly as good.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Oh, well. But let's go ahead and take a hop down to good old OU, and Claude and I are going to tackle this one together. So the big thing, no bans or suspects are really even being talked about right now, because it's in a pretty good place overall. There's still some discussion about Dragapult, but...
I haven't seen Dragapult in a while, and even if I do, I'm like, it's just a Dragapult.
Yeah, it is this, it like, based on the stats, it's like the second or third most used thing in the tier, but I mean, even with specs, 100 special attack can only get you so far.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Sure, it's fast, but like, if Pursuit was around, I don't think this would be S tier.
It wouldn't be OU if Pursuit was around.
You think? I think it would still be OU, I just think it would be like... A tier, or maybe even B.
I think it would be like Weavile, where it kind of hovers between OU and UUBL.
Well, Weavile is now in A plus rank, so.
Yeah, true. It did just make the jump to OU, though, and we'll mention that too. This, now that it's been a while since a lot of DLC came out, they're doing the tier shifts every 3 months now. I've mentioned that the past couple battlecasts, you know, based on trends, this might be this tier next month. Well, the tier shifts have happened, so there's a whole lot of changing going on for especially the lower tiers. OU is not really affected, but a lot of the other tiers made huge changes. But continuing on, Bisharp and Weavile are going nuts still, just partially because of the Dragapult thing.
I wouldn't have said Bisharp, but definitely, I mean, definitely Weavile.
Mm-hmm.
See, I've never been a fan of Bisharp, so I always look down on it.
It's almost Hawlucha level for me. I don't know
how
why.
How much you hate it?
Yeah. Like, I made a Mega Gyarados set a long time ago that was made specifically to counter Bisharp, because it resists both of its stab moves.
All right.
I hate that thing. I hate that thing so much.
Sure. I mean... I never think it's as good as it is. And whenever I see it do work, I'm like, okay, all right.
That not even going to lie, that among kind of Weavile was part of the reason that I wanted Zamazenta to drop. But here we are.
No, Zamazenta was too strong, even for OU.
I think it was fine, but it would be nice to have something to completely invalidate Bisharp. That would be my dream, but oh well.
Just give everybody Mach Punch. That'll work.
Everybody, yep. Another thing that happened that's big and noteworthy is Slowking has finally seen the light of reason and is no longer in the S rank. I don't know why it was ever there, but whatever. I guess people...
That's not... It's good. It's really good. Just...
Yeah. No. Is it meta-defining? No. Absolutely not. I guess people got prepared for the exactly one set that it runs. So... Whatever.
Yeah, that and because of even Slowking, Scizor is seeing a lot more rise. I think to fight off the likes of Bisharps and Weaviles, and even the Slowking, you set up one sword stance and something. Oh, cool! I can U-turn or I can knock off, and suddenly you're dead.
Mm-hmm. It's also good against Kyurem, which is starting to catch a lot of steam too. Scizor eats that for breakfast.
Yeah, Kyurem is the and like I would say Kyurem and Weavile. These ice cores are really is the flavor of the month right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but.
I mean, on the topic of...
Go
ahead.
Nope.
Oh, radio. On the topic of Scizor, it kind of brings up an interesting trend that's happened, and mainly I blame the fact that Dragapult and Zeraora are good, where speed control used to mean you have a Scarfer. That's what it used to mean back in Gen 7 and prior, ever since we got Scarf.
Sure.
Yeah. But now, speed control on teams basically means either you're running Dragapult / Zeraora, or you're using Priority. That's your speed control. There's only, like, three things that even run Scarf, and those are Lando, Feeny, and Kartana.
I could have sworn there's more that use Scarf.
They might use it, and there are plenty that are capable, but, like, when you see it land in front of you and you have to predict, is this holding a Scarf or not?
It used to be Lele. What's he said? Lele? You said Lele, right?
Lele has not seen it recently, but it used to run it a long time ago.
It used to run it a lot. Huh.
Yeah, now it's more Specs or Twisted Spoon.
I do enjoy a good Twisted Spoon.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, you're right. I guess there aren't nearly as many Scarfers as there used to be. Guess that we need to run more Scarf Blacephalon. That's what I'm saying. Mind blown.
Exactly.
Really catch people off guard.
You could. That would be a fun one. I actually got kicked by one of those. It outsped my Dragapult all of a sudden, and then its Shadow Ball was stupid and completely wiped the floor with me. So.
Or what you do is you run, Flame Charge.
That too. It's got 131 attack. So
well,
why not?
I mean, you run it for the speed boost, then you run Special.
Mm-hmm.
But either way,
there you go. There's
my segue. You're right. There are not as
there's
many
your
Scarfers
free
as there
spice
used
rack.
To be. Yeah, there's your spice rack for OU. Flame Charge Blacephalon. It's super innovative. No one's ever seen it before. But talking about a mod that I love that I haven't get a chance to, I don't get to see very often, but every once in a while shows up, but is now getting more traction, is Dragonite.
Yeah.
Because there are two sets that are running around. Either you have this really defensive one that just kind of sits there and, like, doesn't die, but then checks a lot of the other mons, or a Dragon Dance one that actually can kill and defeat a lot of things.
Granted, and both of them are just fat. It's gross.
Yeah.
And multi-scale makes it even worse.
Except for the fact that Weavile is running around and Triple Axel makes Dragonite a very sad boy.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you pop those Dragon Dances up and pop it before it pops you.
Until they start running Scarf Weavile, and then you're really
Scarf Weavile.
I've seen it before.
I believe it.
I hope I don't.
There was
see
a
it
time
again.
When Scarf Dragapult was around because you really need to go fast.
Well, that was when Aleki was a mon that mm-hmm. people cared about for some reason.
Yeah. Yep.
I know one of your favorite Scarfers that you like to talk about is Feeny.
Oh, yeah. I have been using the crap out of that thing. It's taken the tier by storm, too, because Weavile and Rapid Strike Urshifu have just popped off as primary top tier threats. And Feeny outspeeds both of them, as well as Dragapult, even at max speed. So Scarf Feeny can take on all three of those, Moonblast all of them, and just crack them open. And if Toxapex comes in to absorb a Moonblast, a Surf, whatever, you can trick this Scarf onto it. And your fourth move is just up in the air based on what you need. Do you want to have a late game Calm Mind user? Do it. Do you want to have knockoff on it to support the rest of your team? Go for it. You can also even run Defog if you want to do that. It just needs three moves. So the fourth is just what you want.
Yep.
I've been doing Calm Mind. It's hilarious.
Yeah, they don't really expect it after a trick, do they?
Exactly. Like, trick it onto a Slowking. I did that one game. Trick the Scarf onto a Slowking, then start setting Calm Minds.
Oof.
It was gross.
I can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's all I have for OU. Do you have anything else?
Not really. And the fact that Scizor is popping off in OU really affects UU.
Yeah, and we'll talk more about OU later in the topic. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we're saving a little bit for then. So let's go ahead and jump down to UU, where some cool things happened. First of all, this is one of the tiers now where we start talking about bans, unbans, tier shift departures and tier shift arrivals. So no bans or unbans, so no tiering action in that way. But Mew and Scizor both made the jump from UU to OU, so are no longer usable in UU.
And there are three mons that dropped, I believe, being Nidoking, Pelipper, and Regieleki.
About time on that last one.
Pelipper still has Frizzle, right?
Yes, it does.
Ooh, I can see Rain in UU becoming a thing until they decide to ban it and make Pelipper BL again.
Maybe they might make it BL. I mean, Rain hasn't really taken over down there. They do have access to Politoed, but it can't reliably recover.
Alright, so you see, when you have Pelipper versus, like, I'm looking at the top threats of UU right now, you have something like Keldeo, which can't really touch Pelipper and dies to it. Komo-O, which really doesn't like Pelipper. Tangrowth, who doesn't like Pelipper. You have Mence, who, I mean, still doesn't want to eat a lot of hits. And you have things like Amoongus, Buzzwole, Crocodile, Lycanroc, Moltres, Nihilego, Rotom Heat, Rhyperior.
Yeah.
Like, the entire A like group it. Hates Pelipper, for the most yeah. part. And when you get to compare it with, imagine pairing it with like a Thundurus, and now you
or
have
that Keldeo,
or even that Keldeo, and suddenly Keldeo now has more power to it. Or even the new Nidoking or Regieleki. I don't know, but I think Pelipper will eventually leave UU.
I would believe that. It just dropped barely. It just needs OU to have a little bit of a rain spree, and
yeah.
then it's back up there.
So use it now while you can. But
exactly,
I'm convinced it will be broken down here and will be like the top spot.
Yeah. Other than that, though, people were already starting to discuss suspecting Mew for the fact that it just was so reliable in its utility and its unpredictability. So it's perfect timing. Yeah. On the sad side of things, Scizor was glue for a whole lot of teams, so it's kind of sad for the tier that it left. But
yeah, Scizor has been like, in my mind, Scizor has been like the Lando of UU since last gen.
Forever.
Maybe 6
gen? Yeah. Gen 6, I think, because Mega was OU.
Yeah, I think the regular was not. And it was just like, now it's gone. It's gone back up to OU because we don't have Mega Scizor. People realize Scizor is good again.
Yeah. It's one of my favorites. According to my chart, it's my favorite bug type. So,
Okay. I mean, we have to. We'll briefly talk about Regieleki and how it's going to drop even further than UU because it can set screens.
It's a meme.
It has electric moves, and when you're in a tier with when like the main mons are like Tangrowth, Amoongus, Thunder's Therian. Rhyperior. Now you have Nidoking. Think of Nidoqueen too. Crocodile. Like, that's just to name a few that are like very prominent on like every team. It just gets hard pulled and then allows someone to set up. And it becomes more of a hindrance to your team than anything else.
Yep. Absolutely. If they have a ground type, Regieleki can't do anything.
No. I said, especially
if they ever
Nidoking,
decide to give that thing moves.
Break things open.
Yeah. Yeah, and Nidoking will be a lot of places because it can two-hit KO the entire tier, except sometimes Chansey if it doesn't run Superpower.
I mean, even then, I don't think two Superpowers kills Chansey.
Yeah, it might. I don't know. I'd have to run that calc, but I think you're right. I know that it's used to do to Blissey, but I don't know.
Yeah, when you Eviolite, Chansey's bulkier than Blissey, so that's the only thing is it can do a lot except Chansey.
Yeah, but I mean.
This is where sub-focus punch Nidoking's going to come into play.
Uh-huh. Or just focus punch in general. Sometimes you don't even need the sub if you come in and scare something out.
That's true. I like to have the sub, though. I never trust my opponents.
If you come in on, like, a Tangrowth...
Oh, yeah, it's not staying in. It might.
No, that's going to run away.
That's it. If it's Assault Vest, it can live one hit in Earthquake, or Power Whip, and potentially, you know...
Or knock off, neuter it, but yeah.
Exactly.
But most of the time, though, it'll run.
It should run is the answer.
It should run, yeah. But that'll be scary. That'll be interesting to see how people adapt to Nidoking being down here now. Mm-hmm. I predict Nidoqueen will just drop like a rock, but we'll see. Because it was kind of floating around here for a little bit, but now that Brother's here,
I think with Mew gone, we're going to see a lot more Necrozma because it's kind of similar,
and it's a potent win con, Dragon Dance, even Meteor Beam.
Yes. It can do all the same things. It can be bulky, it can be offensive, it can be defensive.
Yeah.
I think check Nidoking actually fairly well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Get a Dragon Dance off and then Photon Laser.
But even then, like, I think you can live a hit or two and just pop it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think Aegislash will keep that sort of in check, but even then it's got things like Heat Wave. Yeah. It's wild. Another thing that's kind of catching momentum down here that especially now that Scizor's gone and it's not competing directly for a bug is Life Orb Roost Buzzwole. That has crazy coverage and who knows. That said, it's been catching a lot of popularity in OU, so who knows. By the time October rolls around, it might be OU again, just barely.
Yeah.
I doubt it personally, but who knows. That's 3 months away. That's a whole different season, so whatever. But yeah. Pretty much that's UU.
Yeah.
A couple things happened here. There's bigger moves in the lower tiers, so why don't we keep going on down? How about RU, Claude?
Sure. So Are you lost, Rhyperior and Zarude? Which were two big, big threats in Are You? And it got Alolan Ninetales. So, when you hear Alolan Ninetales, people get very scared that, like, all these hyper-offensive teams are gonna show up. But Light Clay is banned in Are You. So, Aurora Veil's
everything
only five
below
turns.
OU.
Yeah. So it's pretty much gone. I mean, it can still do a lot of damage, it's still just an Alolan Ninetales. I don't think hail teams are that good in RU. I mean, they were okay, but the big thing though is the fact that you lost Zarude and Rhyperior. Because Zarude basically held all of the psychic types in check.
Yeah,
being
it really
like
did.
A staple on most teams is like, oh, just throw on a Zarude, and then you have a Darkest Larius answer to everything.
Mm-hmm.
With that, you'll probably see more things like Reuniclus show up. I think Sigalith might even show up more even here if it's around here. I forgot what tier it's in.
I forget if it's banned or not. Let me check.
I don't remember. I just remember it being always a terror wherever it is.
Oh yeah, it's there. It's NUBL.
Yeah.
So
I think that will actually rise up into RU now. Rhyperior was just a big rocker. So I don't know, like, I mean, it's just gonna give more work to Steelix.
Yeah.
And that's it. Let's see, the other things to talk about are it recently got Quagsire, which dropped all the way to PU because, you know, Quagsire is one of those mons that goes from, like, goes straight to OU to UU to, or OU to PU to OU to PU, depending on flavor of the month.
Exactly.
And what teams are
just
popular,
like Gastrodon.
So, exactly. So Quagsire is now around, so that's going to be helpful, especially when you have Vileplume to pair nicely with it. All very happy that Zarude and those friends are gone, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we always say Zarude, like, I'm talking a lot about Zarude because Zarude affected the tier a lot.
Yeah.
Like, you think of the other things that Dark is good against? Ghost types. And ghost types are going to do much better. Like, Chandelure, Poltergeist, Mimikyu are really happy to not have to deal with Zarude. Especially, I think, because Mimikyu without a sword stance couldn't one-shot Zarude, I think, which is the fun part.
That sounds about right. That thing is bulkier than you would expect.
And it's usually faster, so it just U-turns out first, breaks her thing, Disguise.
Yeah.
And then what? So we will probably see a little rise of, like, Umbreons a little bit more to fill in that, like, Zarude dark type void.
Mm-hmm.
We have the spice rack of the episode. This is the spiciest of all the racks.
It is about the spiciest thing I've seen.
So this is Eldegoat. I say Eldegoat because it is Eldegoat. It has, like, there is one specific set that has been doing really, really well. And that's Leftovers, Regenerator, 252 HP, 252 Special Defense, Calm Nature, Max Special Defense, with Leech Seed, Rapid Spin, some sort of grass attack, and then either Aromatherapy or Sleep Powder, usually. And then it just sits there. It does a lot of hazard control is an annoyance for Pokemon to deal with Leech Seed, and it can just, you know, sit there and recover health and be really annoying, especially now that Zarude is gone. That would usually just sit there and force it to Rapid Spin against it because it couldn't touch it otherwise.
Yeah. And it's actually got an astounding special bulk. Like, if it's not super effective, it'll live it, and then you regen it out. You regenerator it out. It's wild.
So Eldegoat has a spot as a special defensive pivot in the tier. Although I don't see why you would ever want to run it when you have the likes of Vileplume, but some people like to use it.
For flavor. Vileplume can't aromatherapy.
It can.
Or rapid spin.
It can aromatherapy. It can't rapid spin.
Oh, it can. Silly me. Yeah.
It can strength zap, though.
That's true, too.
That's the only difference.
Yeah. People describe the Eldegoss as kind of like a combination of Serena and Vileplume in one Pokemon.
Which is a very useful tool.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
The hazard removal plus the annoying.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I might go and try that out.
Yeah.
If you go and try it out, make sure you tag McGee in every time you win with Eldegoss. Eldegoat.
Every single time. Go to the Smogon thread on Discord. Every time.
Get a match replay, post in there, and be like, at McGee,
you don't even have to win. If Eldegoss hits the field.
If it tanks a hit. As long as it doesn't get one shot, you're fine.
Even better.
Yeah.
Don't tell him we said that.
No, he will never know.
Zero context.
Exactly. But that's pretty much it for RU. Seth, why don't you tell us about the neverly used Mons of Venue?
The neverly sounds good to me. It kind of had a similar situation happen. The last couple tiers have either had a big arrival or a big departure, and this departure is Flygon, which is huge, really, because that thing surprisingly kept so much in check because it has so much variety to his sets. It was Scarf. It could be Band. It could be Dragon Dance for Endgame. There were even things like Rocky Helmet defensive Flygons because it's got decent enough stats and reliable recovery. So
it stopped this thing, all of my Poison Boys from doing well.
It did. It stopped all of your Poison Boys from doing well. So expect a whole lot of those to pop up. Outside of that, I'll get more into the Flygon ramifications here in a minute, but it also gained Arctazolt and Galarian Articuno.
Ooh.
So.
All right, so it's up to Stone Tank and Drapion to do well in this meta then.
Mm-hmm. And so the Flygon leaving is big, as I said. There's a couple things that it kept in check specifically, like Salazzle, Drapion, Copperajah, Toxicroak. Those are all big, big names that it was keeping at bay. And the council people have said that they're going to keep a close watch on the tier in case they need to take any, like, action based on Flygon's departure. If Salazzle gets too big, I think that's the biggest thing on the radar at the moment.
Because it's lethal
down there.
It can do so much. It can Toxic Stall. Mm-hmm. It can, you know, just go, like, Nasty Plot, kill everything, because it's one of the fastest things in the tier.
Yeah.
I'm glad the lower tier has shifted, though, from, Ninjask, you turn the tier into this.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. In the lower tier, Salazzle's much more of a lethal sweeper as opposed to, like, OU, where you might see it as a Toxic Staller. It's just because of that speed tier combined with the decent enough special attack. So, it's a dangerous threat down here. On top of that, as far as potential tiering things in the near future, they're also looking into Blastoise and Sirfetch'd. I know we had just mentioned those as being potentially problematic last month, so Now that the tier shift has happened, they got a kind of better idea on what's the priority. But they said they're probably going to look into those two sooner rather than later. So who knows? By next month, maybe action would have already been taken on at least one of them. But other than that, a lot of electrics, on top of poisons doing really good now that Flygon's gone, a lot of electrics are also going to do good. Pretty much if it's electric, it has chances to thrive now. Big one being Rotom Moe. Because it's got that Leaf Storm in the back.
Good. Give my Poison Boy something to feed on.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, Dragalge is going to eat that for breakfast. But, Rotom Moe's a really good one. Other electrics that are being talked about is Heliolisk, and you can do it with, like, Silk Scarf and Hyper Voice to just scream at things.
Ah, that sounds scary.
Yeah. Magneton is pretty good, and Magnet Pull shenanigans can happen. Lantern, even, and Alolan Raichu are worth looking at. Especially, not Pukemuku, what's the other one? Pincurchin might be available, so you could, theoretically, have a semi-decent Alolan Raichu game with Terrain.
What's the ground type, like the main ground type in the tier?
There kinda isn't one. There's really? Not a main one yet. They're not yet. People haven't decided what they're gonna do. Some things that people have thrown around are even, like, throwing the name of Stunfisk around as just a ground type.
Yes. I like it.
Yeah. The other option that you could go is have something with, like, a Volt Absorb or Motor Drive or something like that.
Yeah.
Togedemaru might rise up a bit.
Oh, Wish Pass.
Uh-huh. And it's got weird amounts of utility. For being as fragile as it is,
I like Togedemaru.
It is cool.
It's a good egg.
It is. And, the spiky spiky shield as an attack, not the ability, because that would completely negate the fact that you're absorbing votes.
Oh, I had a super heat Togedemaru set. I want to see if I can find it again. when I say super heat, it was like incredibly dumb, but worked for no reason. I think it was I think it was Iron Barbs with a Rocky Helmet and like spiky shield.
Oh my gosh!
And then you ran like
stupid
Substitute on it. Just to really be annoying. I think it was Sub, Spiky Shield, and then like two, and then maybe like Wish and Zing Zap or something absurd.
That
just
sounds
hilarious. Just to force you to attack it. It just hated any physical attacker. It may have also had Nuzzle, Sensing Zap, just to really be that guy.
That sounds funny.
I think that was it. Let that be the spice rack. You have a physical type attacker you don't want to deal with. Togedemaru has your answers.
There you go, exactly.
So they think that, like, they try and attack into you, spiky shield. Ugh, they take damage. They attack you without the spiky shield, think the protect is down? No. Iron Barb, Rocky Helmet, take all of the poke.
That's kind of like Tank Chomp in OU, which is always really fun.
Oh, you could run in dirt, too.
Oh, I love doing that.
Yeah.
You thought you had me. Nope, take another 30% of your health.
Oh, my protect only did like 10% to you. You attack without protect, you're taking like 40.
Yeah.
How much is Iron Barbs? Ugh. Iron Barbs is 1/8. Gosh. 1/8 plus Rocky Helmet, like, which is also 1/8?
It gets crazy.
Is this a fourth of your health gone in like one hit?
I think that sounds about... I think it's slightly less.
Oh,
I
it's
say...
1/6 and 1/8. Whatever that is.
Okay. You can melt in her Shifu like that.
Ooh. Snapdragon. Pop Rice Krispies, Batman.
But anyway, back to NU. Something else that's catching a lot of steam now that Flygon's gone is, oddly enough, Copperajah. It was already here. It wasn't really going anywhere, but now it has more freedom. It doesn't have to only be a tank. It can be offensive, too. That thing has a move pool that goes from here to the other side of the planet. It can do pretty much anything it wants. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's actually rather good. Who would have thought?
And as we expressed on last month's show, it is technically the heaviest Pokemon. If it has the heavy metal ability, it bypasses the weight of Cosmoem and Celesteela.
So, we don't know the full weights of some of these mons. We only know how far it... Oh, because there's a limit?
Yeah, exactly. It only goes up to 999 kilograms.
Exactly. So it could be more.
Yep. It should be more. Cosmoem's a black hole. It's a neutron star. It should be way more. But as far as like how the math actually works out, Copperajah is technically the heaviest Pokemon, so its Heavy Slam and Heat Crash are going to be crazy lethal. So go offensive with your Copperajah now. You don't have to only run tanky. You have the freedom. It's kind of the perfect NU mon, really.
Copperajah. It really is. Except it's slow.
Other than that, yeah. But, I mean, it's got the stats to accommodate.
It really does, though.
He's thick.
Yo, he a heavy elephant.
He a hellephant.
Oh.
I regret that. That was the worst joke I've ever made.
That's fine. We're keeping it in there.
Dang, anyways, we're keeping it in there.
Let's move on to PU after that.
Yeah.
So they banned Alolan Exeggutor because, you know, dropping Dracos is way too much for the tier.
Exactly.
And they unbanned Archizolt because... Didn't Galarian Articuno drop all the way down here?
Yep, it dropped all the way down here. Yeah. So it didn't just gain it in NU, it gained it in PU. That's how big of a drop it had.
Yeah. So, I mean, granted, those are things that... they also got Quagsire, because Quagsire, you know, goes top to bottom. But they also lost Guzzlord, they lost Heliolisk, they lost Zatu, they lost Toxicroak, and they lost Garbodor. So a lot of poisons went up to NU, where it's poison in the tier at the moment. And a lot of these psychics are dropping, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But I still think PU is going to be dominated by Mesprit, just because it's a bulky psychic type that can do a lot of things.
Most likely.
I think Galarian Articuno has a really good spot here now.
As your Mesprit alternative, if you will.
Pretty much. They say Archizolt is going to be fun, but with Vigilith being around, it's kind of difficult to use. Because Archizolt is only good in hail. So I can see it even dropping to ZU.
Possible. I don't think they have a hail setter down there now.
No, but anything can run hail.
Exactly. Even it could run hail.
Mm-hmm. So the other big thing is, since Heliolisk and Toxicroak both left, water types might actually be able to do something in the tier again.
Oh, you know? Because that absorbs it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. With Guzzlord gone, it allows more psychic types to show up. Ghosts could be a problem as well because of... You know, Guzzlord and Heliolisk being gone, so you never know. There's a whole, like, PU is wide open. I think it's always kind of been wide open, but...
Yeah, it's kind of the Wild West.
I mean, that's what you expect from that tier in ZU, pretty much. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, the only other thing of note is that Monotype has decided to ban the following items. King's Rock, Bright Powder, Lax Incense, Quick Claw, and Focus Band. Because it gives you an unfair... advantage, like of hacks, I guess.
Yeah. OU is not general ladder things were talking about it for a little bit, and Monotype went ahead with it. But yeah, that, I guess there was a council vote to see if that was something to bring forward, and it didn't make the cut. So regular ladders didn't do that, but Monotype has banned the luck items as they were kind of grouped.
Yeah. Because it's almost a feel bad when you win by one of those, just because it's like, oh, I got lucky. I win.
Yeah.
It kind of defeats the purpose of, like, I mean, even though the Pokemon is very much an RNG-based game, there's still a lot of skill that goes involved. And when a single piece of luck, that's not like a, what, 4% crit? 6% crit?
They dropped it. It used to be 6, but now it's even lower.
Oh, it's even lower. Great. When you have less than like a 5% chance of getting crit that can affect any move, though, for both players, and like someone's like, oh, what do you know? I got lucky with my flinch here on this item. Or, oh, your earthquake missed because of my bright powder. Like, it just or doesn't feel earned, I guess.
Or my Toxapex didn't counter your Cloyster like it should have because it flinched me with Rock Blast 3 times in a row.
I feel like you like say that out of that. Personal experience.
Maybe. Maybe. Stupid Cloyster. That's another thing that might accidentally rise to OU next session because there's a lot of people running Cloyster King's Rock out of spite in OU trying to get it banned. So it's the hype. In a sense. So who knows, by October it might be OU.
Let's hope so. At least I hope so. But that's just me.
Yeah. But that is the tiers. It was a kind of a big month just because we finally had a tier shift take place 3 months later.
Yep.
So expect October's episode to be equally as lengthy as we go over all the changes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is the tiers. Stay tuned for tiering action that happens next month as people figure out all the weird stuff, like to see if Salazzle's gone, Blastoise is gone from RU or NU. Which one was it? NU. Who knows? Maybe by then an OU suspect will happen too. I doubt it, personally. There's nothing wrong with anything ever.
No, never.
But you know, the next thing I'm curious to see if it'll happen is the Uber's Shadow Rider conundrum. If that'll finally go through. That's what I want to see next, is what'll happen.
A lot has to develop over the summer. And I know with a lot of, like, I know there's a lot of tournaments going on, at least for Smogon. I think the ladder tournament's going on right now. I know a couple of Grand Slams, I think, just started.
Mm-hmm.
Which are always fun to watch. You know, if you ever get a chance, just go check them out. It's like some of the best players playing their best tier.
Yeah.
So, that's always really, I like Grand Slam a lot just for that reason. Ladder I don't usually watch until, like, the final tournaments. Just because it's toxic at the top.
Yep. But anyway, we're going to cut the tier time and hop on over to the topic to talk about this triple T cube, whatever thingamajig monstrosity that Claude has come up with. So we will be right back. All aboard. It's time for the topic. And welcome back to the topic. We have a weird one, another Puckle format tournament to go over, the Triple T. Remind me again what that is, Claude, and if you could give me a rundown of what on earth this is.
So this is our Triple Tri-Attack Triathlon. It's a little misleading. We just like the whole Triple Tri theme, so we went with that. But basically,
alliteration is good.
Yes. Basically, how this came about is a couple of our staff members participated in a Smogon tournament called the Dodrio Cup, where it was VGC, and you couldn't use a Mon after it was used. So one person would bring 6 Mons to their match, and then you'd know for your next one of the other members would be like, oh, I see that on the enemy team. They will not show up. So we adapted that to OU, because we thought that'd be as fun tier to do it in. So basically the way it works is we have, and this is our first time experimenting with a team-based format. So we have 8 teams of three players, and you have each team will have 3 matches in that week. Based on the, so whoever plays first, it has the entirety of OU to use. After that first match is done, those 6 mons that were used in the first match on your team cannot be used in the second or third match. Same goes for the second match. Once it's used, those are gone. So basically, as the matches go on, your pool of mons you get to use shrinks slightly. And that makes it a really interesting format because, yes, you have one guaranteed OU game. That's like a pure OU match. After that, it's a slight adjustment. And you can see what your opponents have every week, or you can see what they brought, so that you know you won't see things again. So it kind of allows for different formats and niche Pokemon to be used. And that's our little fun way of taking on the OU format. The fun part is, if you look at, like, any of the OU, like, just sample teams, 90% of them have Lando T on it.
Uh-huh.
Except for the rain team and the sand team.
That makes sense, yeah.
So, like, just because it's a very good Mon, lots of Pivot. And even if you look at, like, any of the viability rankings, it's like you have, I believe it's just three Mons. I think in S rank you have Dragapult, Lando T, and Heatran. You only get one of those for all of your matches. Same with, like, one Clefable, one Garchomp, one Toxapex. So it becomes more of a, all right, how can I build these teams differently? Or, like, there's different ways to approach it. It's, oh, let me build three good OU teams that just don't overlap any Mons. There's different ways to look at it and see, but I think the common threads that at least I was expecting is you'd have two different OU teams and then a rain team. Just because rain's easy to, like, break the mold. So it's a matter of, oh, who's... In my mind, I would be thinking, all right, who's going to be your rain team? It's like how in BGC, you expect someone to always have, like, a Kyogre. It's like, it's that good. Someone should probably... One of the three teams would have it. It's a matter of where. So, like, and they'll get to see things over, like, a couple weeks to try and, like, find it out. And then, I think it's a three-week round robin in little pools. And then the top two teams of each pool will move on to a playoff. And it's going to be fun. Where we just started week one, and already the games are super, super interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. This is such a cool idea overall.
Yeah. Anyway, so we stole it from the Ice Smogon tournament that we found. We thought it was a really cool idea, and we're experimenting because we don't usually do team tournaments in Puckle, but we want to because people seem to like them, and it's forcing people to work together. And people didn't pick their own teams. We randomly threw people together, so that way you have to work with people you may not know before. It's our way of trying to, like, bring the community together a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it's fun. I mean, there's lots of options. Likely you can see, like, oh, you can each team can build around a different Tapu if you want. You can build around a different weather. Like, there's a lot you can do. I think that's the easier approach, is to be like, all right, I want to do a team around this. And then you try and build around it. Rather than, oh, let me take this good OU team. Like, sure, you can build a team with the top six Mons, but then the rest of your squad is going to have less to work with. And that becomes the interesting part about it. Exactly. Clefable is a Mon I see almost frequently on the ladder. Once that's gone, you don't have to worry about it. That might change up some of the tech moves that you run. Like, you may not want the most standard sets. You may want to be like, oh, okay. And then the other part is, like, we tried to match it up with, oh, this is a person who's usually very good at competitive battling versus someone who's brand new. We try and pair it up so each team has, like, you know, some sort of variety. It's, do you send your least experienced person out first, so that way they have all of OU to play with? Or do you keep them in the back for last and hope your two other players can win before them?
Mm-hmm.
There becomes a whole mental game on who you're playing and how you're playing, and, like, who knows, someone might decide, all right, you build a random OU, like a normal OU team, hard stall, and then, like, hyper offense rain, or something like that. And
it's like, well, those really overlap anything.
And I think it allows for, like, other Mons to have fun. The other big thing that we have is, once it's used, that national dex number is gone. The moment anyone uses any Rotom form, all of the other ones are gone. What would it matter with? Like, Thundurus. You get one Thundurus, not both. Or, like, Zapdos. That means no Galarian Zapdos.
Yeah,
It affects a couple of little things, but not much. We just cut out on some of the forms, so.
That makes sense. A regular Zapdos on balance and then not being able to use Galarian Zapdos on Hyper Offense is kind of a big blow. So that
Same
makes,
with Moltres. That makes,
yeah, okay, yeah, I didn't think of that, too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the big one's the Rotoms, though.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think Heat is very good. Oh, and even Slowbro and Slowbro Galar, or Slowking and Slowking Galar.
Yeah.
You get one, like, between the forms, so.
You only get to pick one Wormadam.
Nope, that's not an OU.
That's right. It's not even in the decks. That's right, I forgot.
Back in Gen 4, I had a Wormadam team that had all three Wormadams. granted, this was like Wi-Fi battle stuff, not like Showdown, Smogon, or Showdown, or whatever. I think, what was it, Pokemon Online at the time, or because they wouldn't
have allowed that. Battle at that point.
It may have been shoddy, but I remember I purposely had a Wormadam team, and I was like, all right, I'm like, this is my Wormadam team, I'm bringing all the Wormadams, and I'd ask, do you mind? And they're like, no, because no one would ever care. And then I'd end up sweeping them with, like, Wormadam ground that's choice banded into Earthquake.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Oh, I have a replay somewhere, back in, like, my old, like, Pearl, I think, of it. And I'm like, this is a great day, and I'm going to keep this forever. But I think there's a lot that can happen. It's a different type of format. I mean, granted, you can just find three good OU teams and not worry about it.
So long as they don't overlap. There's plenty of them that don't, too, just based on style. But, yeah. And your teammates, I feel like you said, have a huge impact on this. So
exactly.
Something that someone's comfortable with. If you hand me a hyper offense team, I can do it, for instance, but I would much rather take 247 turns to end my game. So
exactly. And you don't have to play the same style every week. You can be like, oh, this didn't work week one. Let me change up my how we're like doing this. And you can, and we're allowing people to work together and like in a voice call. So
that's
your team.
Good.
Your team can all be in a call together, helping each other, being like, all right, but the timer is on the entire time. As much as you want to talk through all the plays, you need to be like, all right, cool. It's not going to be like one person just picking all the buttons. You have to think about it, determine it, and whoever's actually battling has to make the decision.
That's very smart. I like that. It kind of gives the leeway for letting you teamwork, but also the timeline that you have 30 seconds to click a button.
Exactly. Or I think it's like 3 minutes for the entire game, maybe.
Something like that. I don't know.
But it's definitely interesting, and it's a fun little thing that we wanted to try out. We may do more of these. We may do less. I don't know.
For sure. So what are some, like, let's not talk about the week one, like the battle one things where it's just an OU team. What are some of the things you're seeing in battle two or three, if you've seen enough or predict enough
At the moment, there's like, I think there's supposed to be 12 matches per week. I think we only have 5 in right now, and our first weekend's soon. It might be 5. It might be 6. I have 6 matches in. Oh, cool. So the big thing that we've seen a lot of the time is people like to use Tangrowth. Tangrowth is seeing a lot of popularity because it's not necessarily it's not an OU mon.
Oh yeah, it's UU, isn't it?
It is UU, but it can do as well in OU. That's been a very popular thing. I think in a lot of the matches we saw Heatran go immediately.
Of course, yeah.
Just because of that. I'm going to pull up the ones that I've seen. So actually, we only have 5 matches in. I was wrong. One was here twice. So in the ones that I've seen, it's a rain team. We had rain versus sand 1 week.
How interesting.
Yeah. We have like a hyper offense, I think, versus sand.
Okay.
So sand has been fairly popular. We've seen stall.
Ooh.
Some balance has had, balance has been really interesting to see. And then other mons like, Umbreon have seen a lot of play.
Okay.
I think Melmetal has seen more play here because once you see something gone, you can use it. It's like, oh, I don't have to worry about a Heatran or a Toxapex.
Yeah. Suddenly. Or something else.
Exactly. And that's the fun part is once something goes, something else is instantly better.
Yeah,
it's like saying,
when you see Clefable.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, they've used Landorus, Therian, and Heatran on the same team? Oh,
darn
like,
it.
Now, imagine OU without those two mons, what would be immediately broken? And that's
Volcarona.
Exactly. But you're right. That would immediately come in and do crazy, crazy things.
Yeah.
And that's the
if
type
you
of...
know you're not going to have a Heatran against you, Volcarona is a instant pick, so...
In your mind, yes.
In my brain, yeah.
I mean, I agree. I think Volcarona should be seeing more love than it is. I don't think anyone's used it yet.
Interesting. Free tip. Do it.
Yeah. The other thing that we've seen a lot of recently is Hawlucha.
Ugh. Blah.
Because it fits in with there being so much terrain and all the Tapus. Uh-huh. It's an easy, throw this on here. One person can have it.
And if you see the Zapdos, then there's no counter to it existing. other than if you see Zapdos and Clefable in like battle one or two, Hawlucha has nothing to stop it. That's disgusting. I hate it.
Pretty much. Like that's an interesting thing. Like I think Coco Zapdos has a really powerful like third team option. Or you make the ballsy play and do it like number two after seeing one thing gone, hoping they're not gonna bring it.
Yeah.
It's the fun part of there are only so many answers, and once they start leaving, they're gone.
Honestly, I could see Aleki doing a good job in this.
We have seen, I think, one or two Alekis in here.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, it's Aleki, so I don't
it
put
is,
too much
yeah.
weight into it, but I'm just like,
after
I'm looking
the
at...
good grounds are gone, though.
Mm-hmm. What's the thing is, there are so many ground types, though.
Yeah.
You have Garchomp, you have Lando, you have Excadrill, you have Swampert. Are the first ones that pop into my mind.
Yeah, that's a lot of them. Do you want a free heat trick that I saw someone try to pull off in OU the other day?
Oh, please. I love heat.
Zoroark and Regieleki, with the Zoroark having ring target and trick. So, it disguises itself as the Aleki, waits for the ground to come in, tricks the ring target onto it, meaning that it's no longer immune to electric.
That's brilliant. And
free
you just have never
tip.
Never run knockoff then, the rest of your team.
Yep, exactly.
But like there are a lot of mons that are good in OU that just don't see a lot of play.
Mm-hmm.
Like Blaziken has speed boost.
Right? That should be seeing tons of play. Here it would be a monster.
Exactly. Like it's like, oh, what's holding it back? Oh, Zapdos.
Yep. Or like the Slowbro twins, the slow twins.
Yeah, the slow twins actually.
See one of those, pop them. Toxapex kind of.
Oh, well, I mean, there are ways around it, but, like, that's
exactly.
The thing, is there are only so many answers. Like, you get rid of the one of the big ones, or that's the fun part. You overload with so many issues, and suddenly you can beat things down.
Yeah,
I
or
see
it lets
more,
you choose
like,
your coverage
Victinis.
Move.
I want to see more, what's the final gambit of Victinis. That would be great.
Oh, that's a fun one, too. Yeah.
Like, you have Clinger Scale Komolo, that can pop off.
Throat spray, that thing. Go ham.
I expect Rain to do very well just because it's very easy to build a Rain team without any of a lot of the other pieces.
They're very exclusive. Yeah, I agree with you there.
So, like, I do expect a lot of Rain and a lot of Sand because you can easily build that. Like, I remember in Gen 7, I did a lot of Sand Volcarona.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the Sand broke everything Volcarona did not want to deal with.
Yep.
And then you just wait until the end game and then Volcarona wins. Granted, I also had, like, a Toxapex Tornadus core in the back, because I was disgusting. But
it works.
I mean, who needs to attack moves when you can just switch infinitely and never lose
exactly.
the game?
Regen for days.
Yeah. I think Kyurem has a really good spot here as well.
Ooh, yeah, that's scary.
That's the other one. And the fun part is, oh, you haven't seen them bring, like, a Skarmory or a Corviknight? This might be the time to bring in a Magnezone team.
Uh-huh.
Drag Mag is still a thing, maybe.
Especially now, the battle after they use Clefable, just bring Draco Meteor everything.
I think Sparky ran Mono Ground.
Nice
match because, but like that tells me against after his match, I would have spanned Electric types.
Aleki food.
Granted, you have Tangrowth and Ferrothorn that kind of laugh in its face, but still.
Yeah.
It's just like, this has become more of an interesting format than I expected. And
yeah.
It's going to be fun to watch evolve because we're in the very beginning phases of it. So we have five games done so far. So it's, you know, anything can happen.
Exactly. It's still all up in the air.
Yeah.
It'll be
and we
crazy.
Haven't even seen one full like match complete. We've seen some people do their first two games, but they still have to do their third one because it matters for tiebreakers and stuff in the end.
Yep. Makes sense.
So.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
I think that's a good summary overall. It's a little bit short of a topic, but like we said, we wanted to cover it, and it's brand spanking new. It's the first time we've done a tournament like this, and we had a monstrous tier time, too, so it works out.
And the fun part is, our team of the episode is a team that's going to feature some mons that, you know, you can use that are a little off the beaten path for one of your teams.
Exactly. I'm real excited for that. So let's go ahead and call the topic here, and we'll hop on over to Team of the Episode. We'll be right back.
And now it's time for Team of the Episode.
And welcome back. We are here with the team of the episode, and this is one that P. McGee has fashioned and Claude has been using and I like looking at. So
I told McGee the other day, I was, hey, I need a fun team. And he's like, lol, okay. And sent me this. I've had a lot of success with it. Granted, I play on like a lot of my alts that are around like 1400-1500, and I've had like good success.
Right. And like we mentioned in the topic, this is kind of a spot where there's some weird Pokemon in here that would be really good in this T-cubed format that we just got through talking about. So let's just dive into it. The first Pokemon on here is Zapdos, obviously with heavy-duty boots. The ability is static. EVs are as follows. 232 HP, 112 defense, 64 special attack, 100 speed, and a bold nature. The moves are Defog, Roost, Volt Switch, and Hurricane. So, fairly standard Zapdos?
I'm pretty sure it's a fairly standard, like, bulky defensive Zapdos. Which, I think, it has power to do something, and speed to outspeed something.
Yep. For me, if it was me, I would run the EVs a little bit differently. I would do 40 speed EVs and Timid Nature just to outrun all Rillaboom. But that's just me.
This might also outspeed all Rillaboom.
I'd have to check. 100 and bold doesn't sound right.
It hits 261.
But it might.
What's Rillaboom's base speed?
I don't know. Let's find out together. This makes good radio, folks. You can hear us clicking as we go find the calculator.
I don't know that off the top of my head. I'm trying to compare it to something else.
269.
It's 69? That's really low.
269. Yep.
Oh, so it just barely misses that if it's max speed, but they're usually never max speed. Usually adamant, right?
Yeah. That's adamant Rillaboom, 269.
Oh, never mind. Okay. Then, yeah, this only hits 261, so you might want a little bit more, or, you know, run Timid, more defense.
Yep. EV optimization, I think 40 speed and Timid is the most optimal way to do it and have the most EVs left to spare. But
I know this wanted to specially attack break a sub of something with a move, and then it's outspeeding a different face.
Yeah.
So.
And honestly, this team isn't terrifically Rillaboom weak, so...
No, not at all.
Why don't you cover the next member?
So, the next member of the team is Salazzle. Not a mon you normally see in OU, but it's one of my personal favorites, just for both this and Monotype Poison. By far my favorite mon in the tier. It's Salazzle with a Black Sludge, the ability Corrosion. So that means it can poison any Pokemon. And yes, I said any Pokemon. Think about your Heatrans that want to come in on Salazzle as it can't touch it. Now it's Toxicked. Oh, and it can't miss that Toxic either. Toxapex is now Toxicked. Corviknight.
Yeah, it's so
Skarmory.
Cool.
Toxicked. All the things you wouldn't want. Like, even Swampert. I've caught so many things with, like, a Ram Toxic. And then you run Toxic, Substitute, Protect, and Flamethrower. And you're running 248 HP, so you have an odd EV. 8 Special Attack, and then 252 Speed for max speed purposes. I'm not sure if you need max speed. I would probably drop a little bit for, like, base 115s. I don't know if there's any base 116 Pokemon that are relevant.
I can't think of any except Hawlucha, but that doesn't even run it.
Exactly. So I think I would probably just speed out base 115s and just call it a day and give you maybe a little bit extra power, but it does not matter at all. This is how I try and win games half the time is, oh, Toxic, and then I'll just sub, protect, Toxic, stall, then out.
and that's half good the time, with Black Sludge, too. You can recover well.
You recover decently. And half the time, it's like, oh, but, you know, you sub, you protect. And after a while, you can predict them because they will know what you're going to do.
Yeah.
So, it's a really fun mon. That and the next one you're going to talk about have been the two win cons for me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. This one's crazy. We've got a paper airplane named Kartana holding a choice scarf. Obviously, its ability is Beast Boost with the EVs really simple. 252 attack, 252 speed, 4 somewhere. Here's special defense, but it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's got an adamant nature, and the moves are Knock Off, Leaf Blade, Sacred Sword, and Smart Strike. Knock something out, get an attack boost, you're still fast, hit real hard. Kartana.
Toxic the entire team, suddenly Kartana can just clean up. I think Kartana is arguably one of the best, like, comeback mons.
Yeah.
The amount of times I've been down, like, 2-5, and then just set up so Kartana can win and reverse sweep them has been insane.
Yeah.
I love Kartana. It's so good.
And the fact that it's a 1 foot tall piece of paper makes it even funnier.
Exactly. But pairing with that, we have a Hydreigon with leftovers, levitate. Has 252 special attack, 252 speed, 4 special defense, timid nature. And the moves are substitute, nasty plot, dark pulse, and flash cannon. So a lot of the times you set up right in front of Clefable and it just dies to a +2 flash cannon unless it's unaware, but then you'll know half the time.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you set up rocks or something and get that information. And then suddenly, oh, what do you know? Hydreigon beats Clefable. Which is kind of fun. But like I said, Hydreigon's been my Heatran counter recently, where I'll just click substitute, and then it can't really break a sub.
Yeah, and if it's toxic already, it's wasting time doing that.
Exactly, and then you can nasty plot, and suddenly one nasty plot allows you to hurt anything. The only real issue would be, like, Infiltrator Dragapult, but...
Yeah.
That is handled very well by the Nexmon.
You bet it is. That Nexmon is Clefable with leftovers. The ability is Unaware here, not Magic Guard. Just keep that in mind. The EVs are 252 HP, 252 defense for special attack, and bold nature, so just fully physically defensive. And the moveset is Moonblast, Calm Mind, Wish, and Protect. Pretty good Clefable. Yeah. Not how I would run it, personally, because I just fear status, and now that Softboiled is legal on Unaware Clef, I like that a lot more. But Wish is good for the other members, like healing up Salazzle,
I didn't realize it was legal.
The last member of the team.
Huh. Cool. Didn't know that. I think Wish is important, though, to like help out your team.
It is. Unless you want Clefable to be the end game. Yeah. Yeah, it really does. Wish is probably much more synergistic, but if you wanted to and wanted cleric support, you could swap Wish Protect out for Softboiled and Heal Bell.
Oh, easily.
Just for fun.
100%. That, and like, I think Unaware Clef is meant for anything that sets up. Setup is really annoying to deal with. I had someone, I was facing a Tapu Fini that was setting up, and I'm like, cool. I went into Michael Fable, we both set up Calm Minds. He hit +6 and then did no damage to me, and then I almost one-shot him with Moonblast.
Yep. That's how, like, it goes.
And he's like, shit.
Wait.
So, oops.
That is
good. But that's just what can happen. There's a lot of things that try and set up in the tier, or that can set up, and you just, you know, it's preventative measure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last mon that we have is Swampert, because you need to have a ground type on your team. Leftovers, Torrent ability, Flip Turn, Toxic, Stealth Rocks, and Earthquake. So this is very much a toxic, it's a little bit of a stally team, but it's very much a we'll wear you down and then kill you.
Right, which is part of what makes Protect Wish on Clefable so good, is because that further stalls out toxic turns.
100%. And the EVs are basically max special defense, max HP, max special defense, careful nature, with 4 in attack. And that is the team.
Overall, a really good balanced team, in my opinion. I think it's great.
And this would work great for TTT, because you're not using any of the S-tier mons. You have one thing that's in, like, what's it? A-plus being Clefable. And then after that, it's like, you have a couple of mons, and you have a mon in a mon in A-minus, I think 2 in B, or something like that. It's...
You know what?
It's not using a lot of the big mons that you would expect. So I think it fits well with this format.
It's wild. It's good. And you know what? It uses all of my stupid cores that I like to put together. Now that I actually take a look at it and think about it, I may take this and tweak it. This is fun.
Yeah. All right, great. Take it. Go. Have fun.
Heck yeah. But anyway, that is our team of the episode. Go give it a whirl in OU. I know I'm going to. And also maybe in the Triple T tournament if you're one of the lucky members who are in that.
Or if you happen to listen to this podcast.
Also true. Yep. Also that. But in the wrap-up stage of everything, if you like what you heard, then there's more where that came from. We've got the main show that comes out on the Puckle feed every Monday. And also we've got all the other Puckle Plus shows here on this channel. Things like the TCG cast and Trivia Rewind. Trivia Rewind. Gosh, that's hard to say. And you can check those out every Thursday of the month, unless it's weird like today and it comes out on a Friday, because sometimes life gets in the way, and that's what we have to do. But other than that, you can support the show by hopping in Discord. That's a huge place to be. That's where all the cool stuff happens. If you want to be part of the events, go to the Puckle Discord. There's a link below, and That's a good link. I don't know what else I was going to say there.
Yeah. We have a lot more fun tournaments coming up, both on cart and online showdown. So get excited.
Yeah. You can find out what Claude has concocted next. It's a great, scary place up there in his brain. And the next tournament is probably going to be crazier. So.
Oh, don't you worry. People are going to be upset with me one way or another, and I'm excited for it.
Perfect. That was a compliment. Other ways you can support the show are subscribing on Patreon. That's always immensely appreciated. It keeps us going. Everything goes right back into making the show what it is. And yeah, you can also find us on Twitch. We stream a lot on there. That's where a lot of the Poke the Episode things happen, right, Claude?
Yeah, Poke the Episode, we usually try and stream it once a month on there. If I occasionally do, like, trivia weekends, it'll be there. You know, any random fun, we decide, oh, let's stream it. We'll do it there.
Exactly. And I think that checks all of my boxes as far as things I'm supposed to say at the end. Not that there's any list or anything like that, but this has been a fun topic. This is a cool tournament variety, and we had a big tier shift, so it was an interesting show. So thank you very much, Claude, for joining me this month.
Of course.
And until next month, we'll catch you later.
Peace.
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.